Gospel of John. You know, it's interesting because John himself, who is the author, he never ever refers to himself in the Gospel. In fact, of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none of the writers name themselves inside the Gospel. But historically, we know that the writers are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you think about this, John is referred to as, in his Gospel, he's referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved. So I guess if you're John, how would you rather be referred to, as John or the disciple that Jesus loved? I think I would probably choose the disciple that Jesus loved. So he starts out his life being called a son of thunder. He had an older brother, James. And through his life, he was tempered. You know, obviously the Apostle John is different than John the Baptist. Okay, but the Apostle John is called the Apostle of Love. Started out like a son of thunder and then eventually became known as the Apostle of Love. It's also true that he's mentioned as the Apostle of Love 80 times in his writings. 45 times in his writings, 25 times in the Gospel and 20 times in the Epistles, he refers to the truth, the word truth. 100 times in his writings, he refers to the word believe. So when you put all that together, you have to believe the truth to come into a personal relationship of love with Jesus Christ. You know, John's gospel is more an evangelistic gospel. It's an evangelistic gospel. It's a gospel about salvation. When we think about the gospel, we start in verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. This is John the Baptist who came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of only the begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." So in the Gospel of John, we fellowship in the deepest way with Jesus. It's a true deep fellowship. We learn the spiritual aspect of Jesus. We're not going to be talking about the historical aspect, the traditional aspect, but we're going to learn about the spiritual aspect. The message of the Gospel of John is this, is that the eternal, the infinite, the all-powerful, the transcendent, the all-knowing, the all-present, everlasting, the unchanging, the one true God has come in the flesh. That's the message of the Gospel of John. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh, we're told. The Word became flesh. The Word is a title that's given to Jesus, the Word. In Matthew in chapter 1, at the birth of Christ, the angel said, call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was always with us. In Luke in chapter 1 and verse 32, the Bible says he is to be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, because he is deity in human flesh. Jesus is God in human flesh. One God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God the Son. God entered the world as a human in the form of Jesus Christ. Fully God, fully man. And that's what we as Christians, we bank on, the truth of that. So the Bible tells us he's to be called the Son of the Most High. You know, the four Gospels, they tell the story of the life of Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as we just mentioned, talk about his earthly ministries, the history of Jesus. They're called the Synoptic Gospels because they all synchronize or synthesize with each other. Each writer gives his story. The stories don't contradict one another. There are certain differences in the stories, but they don't contradict. They all tie into one. And so when we think about this, if you think about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we can understand some differences when we get to John. First of all, there's nothing in John's gospel about the birth of Jesus Christ. Nothing in John's gospel about the birth of Jesus Christ. There's nothing about the earthly, early life. Not the earthly, but the early life of Christ in the gospel of John. There's nothing about the baptism of Christ. There's nothing about the temptation of Christ in the Gospel of John. There's nothing about the transfiguration of Christ in the Gospel of John. There's nothing about the travels of Christ in the Gospel of John. It's an evangelistic. It's about salvation. This is the greatest book that we have that we can teach people about evangelism and salvation is the Gospel of John. And if you wanted to look at maybe one of the holiest of holy chapters, you go to John in chapter 17 when Jesus prayed the prayer. He prayed the prayer that the disciples would be one with the Father like he's one with the Father. That they would be one. That they would be one the same way that I'm one, he says. And so that the world who doesn't know us will see that oneness and will come to know the Father through Christ because of what the world sees in the people of Christ. So we look at the world today and we wonder why, you know, church attendance is down, people are giving their life to Christ, the baptisms are down, everything is down. Where's the example? Where's the example? What example is the church today giving? What example are the people of Christ today giving? So, this is a heavenly look at Jesus Christ. It's the Gospel of John is the most heavenly, if you will, of all the Gospels. The purpose of John is to convince the sinner about the true person of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the book of John. To convince the sinner about the one true person of Jesus Christ. And so when you think about this, it's an evangelistic book, and in order to have salvation, you must believe. You must believe in order to have salvation. You must believe what? The truth. The truth about what? The truth about the Word of God, the truth about Jesus Christ. In order to have salvation, you have to believe. You can't have salvation and not believe. You can't have salvation and believe a third, a half, a quarter, 65%. You have to believe the truth about Jesus Christ, what God's Word tells us. And so in John in chapter 20 and verse 31, these things are written that you may believe. That's the word. Believe is used 100 times in the Gospel of John. The words are written that you will believe. That's why they're written. The Bible is the number one seller of all time as a book. And the reason is so that you will believe what you read so that you will have eternal life. Isn't that amazing? There's millions and millions and millions of Bibles that are sold each year. And the purpose is that you will believe about Jesus Christ and you'll have eternal life. And so, to have eternal life, you have to believe in Jesus Christ, the true Christ. Not the misrepresentation of Christ. Not the opinion about Christ. Not human intuition about Christ. Not your historical family records about Christ. You have to believe what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ. And so, you know, in the message of the New Testament and the Old Testament, we saw from Isaiah in chapter 52 that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He's not anything other than God in human flesh. And other religions don't teach that. Okay? Jesus is God in human flesh. And so the question becomes, wow, so God is God. First of all, no one has seen God. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. No one has ever seen God. That's what the Bible says. No one's ever seen Him. So how do we see God? We know God is a spirit. The Bible tells us that in Genesis. We read that earlier this morning. God is a spirit. No one's seen God. How do we see God? We see God in the form of Jesus. We see God in the form of Jesus. Let's look at John in chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The word Logos is used here. Okay? And the Word was with God. So the Logos was with God. Jesus is the Word. He was with God. And the Word was God. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. What beginning? The beginning of when? In the beginning. Genesis 1. In the beginning. Let's go back there real quick. Genesis 1. In the beginning. That's the beginning we're talking about. In what beginning? In that beginning. In the beginning, God. Now you go to John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right. Go back to Genesis. Chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us. Who's us? Who's us? Not me, not you. God was creating things. When He got done created almost everything, He said what? Let us. Who was He talking to? Let us. Let us. Let us. Back to John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him. If He was God, and all things came into being by Him, that means He created everything. He wasn't outside of God. He was with God. He was God. And everything that was created, the Bible says now, all things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That means there isn't anything that's come into being that He isn't a part of creating. That He isn't a part of creating. And so, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the dark, and the darkness did not comprehend. So when you put that together, we understand that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. You know what? If you just take the titles given to Jesus in the Bible that are also given to God, that reaffirms it, if you will. You can see God and Jesus are both called Shepherd. God and Jesus are both called Judge. They're both called the Holy One in Scripture. They're both called the First and the Last in Scripture. They are both called the Light. They are also both called the Lord of the Sabbath. They're both called Savior. They're both called the Pierced One. They're both called Mighty God. They're both called the Alpha and the Omega. They're both called Lord of Glory. And they're both called Redeemer. These are all titles in the Scripture that identify Jesus and God. You know, titles are given to Jesus that only belong to God. So Jesus Christ is described as eternal. He's described as omnipotent, omnipresent. He's described as having, being immutable. That means he's never changing. This is how Jesus is described, the same way in Scripture that God is described. Jesus did works that only God can do. Jesus created things, and he raised things from the dead. Those are things only God can do. Jesus was God in the human flesh. In John chapter 14, the Bible says that he is the one who is the qualifier for all prayer that is to be accepted by God and answered by God. If you ask anything in his name, the Bible says he hears it and does it. He answers prayer alone as only God can do. Only Jesus and God can answer prayer. They are one. They are one. He answers prayers that only God can answer. So, if you want to like put a summation on the book of John, you go to verse 14 in the first chapter. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as only the begotten from the Father, full of grace and mercy. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word being Jesus Christ in the form of man. God being Jesus in the form of man became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh and dwelt among us as his creation. The Bible says he's called the Word. It's a philosophical understanding. The word became a philosophical understanding. In the Greek term, they talked about logos as a manifestation that was visible in creation. That's what the philosophers talked about. Logos was a manifestation that was visible in creation. And that's what Jesus was. The manifestation that was visible of God. And so, logos refers to the word of the Lord as an expression of God to the people. God's word, we know God's word, is in God's word he reveals everything about himself to people. In the form of Jesus Christ, God presented himself to people. God most fully spoke in Christ in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, he spoke through the prophets. God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God spoke in the form of Jesus because Jesus was God. He didn't need prophets. He had Christ. Christ came, God in the flesh. And so the one who is pure becomes a man. The Spirit became flesh in the form of Jesus. And that's something that we have to be able to understand. We have to understand that Jesus existed before the beginning of time because he was with God. When the Bible says the earth was void back in Genesis, when the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was what? Formless and void. It was nothing there. It was formless and void, and God spoke, think about it, the Word. God spoke a word and it came into existence. You remember the story about the disciples in the boat when the storm came? Remember that God created everything that was going to ever be created. Everything. And Jesus was with them and he was part of that creation. And then you remember the story in the boat with the great storm, and Jesus said what? Peace, be still. And what happened? The storm, the wind, the rain recognized the voice of its creator and stopped. Jesus is God. And so, Christ already existed when God created everything that exists now, because Jesus was God. And that's something that is foundational for Christians. You know, Jesus said many times, I am, I am, I am. Many times he said, I am. So when we get to this book, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We get an understanding. He was in the beginning with God. All came into being by Him. All things came into being by Him. When someone gives their life to Christ, this is the book people go to. This is the book people go to. Why? Because it's a foundational book on evangelism and salvation. Because it reaffirms that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. All things came into being by Him. Everything came into being by Jesus. So those that say Jesus wasn't God, they have a real difficult time with this. They have a real difficult time with this. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was a manifestation, an outward manifestation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That should be, for the believer, that should just be satisfying, affirming, encouraging. To know, do you know there's people out there that tell me that, well, Jesus wasn't God, well, He was the Son of God. How could He be God and the Son at the same time? And what about the Holy Spirit? Because back in Genesis 1, the Bible says, it also introduces the Holy Spirit in Genesis in chapter 1. The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit was hovering. That's the Holy Spirit. So in those first few verses of Genesis, in the first chapter, we see God. If you go to verse 26 in Genesis, let us, speaking of who? Jesus. And then we see the Holy Spirit. So we talk about the Trinity, which is very difficult at some times to understand. One God and three persons. But we see in creation, they were all at work together. They were all at work together. In Him was life. In Jesus was life. He's the life. In Him was life. And that life in Him was the light of men. The life in Christ was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Now, we would assume that word comprehend means to understand. In the English language, it means to understand. But in other languages, it means something different. It means to overtake. It means to overcome. And so, and the light shines in the dark, and the darkness did not comprehend. The darkness cannot overtake the light. Just think about it. When you walk into a dark room and you light a candle, the room doesn't get darker. The darkness doesn't blow out the candle. When you walk into a room that's pitch black and you put a flashlight in the middle of the floor, it lights up the room. The darkness doesn't overtake the light. The light always exposes, the light always never is overtaken by the darkness. And so we see that Christ now, we're talking about the deity of Christ. We're talking about the deity. That means God is Christ. When we say the deity of Christ, Christ is God. That's deity. And so, Everything that was created by Christ, because he's our creator. So he's called the creator. He's called the creator. And it's a powerful expression. When John talks in John in chapter 17, when he talks in his prayer in verse 5 about the glory he had before the world began, Jesus is talking about, in that great prayer, he's talking about the glory he had before the world began. There again, he was with his Father. He was, three things we need to understand about Christ. He was pre-existent. He was there before with God. He's co-existent. He's with God, okay? And he's self-existent on earth. He became God on earth. He's pre-existent, co-existent, and self-existent on earth. Jesus walked on earth. God walked on earth. When we celebrate the birth of Christ, when we celebrate Christmas, sometimes our focus gets so out of whack on what we're celebrating. But the reality is, the celebration of the birth of Christ is the celebration of God entering the world. God entered the world in the form of Jesus Christ. That's a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas isn't getting a bonus, isn't getting a ham, isn't getting gifts. It's the fact that as Christians, we realize we celebrate God entering the world in the form of Jesus during that time. And that's a heck of a celebration. That's a heck of a celebration when you think about it. You know, in the Bible, in Colossians, in chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, in him the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. That means he's full deity. He's fully God. He was fully God and fully man at the same time on earth. There was never a time he wasn't. The seconds of separation came on the cross when he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Seconds of separation, because at that point in time, Jesus had to bear the sins of entire mankind for that time, so that we would then have an opportunity to be where we are, to have a personal relationship with Christ, to have peace, to have a future, to have a hope. Four words, the clearest, most direct words. In him is the fullness of the Godhead. Those are the words. In him was the fullness of the Godhead, Jesus being full deity. Full deity. Everything the Bible's telling us here in these first few verses, that everything that exists came into being through Jesus Christ. Everything that exists came into being through Jesus Christ. And he is eternal deity. He's always God. He always was God. He always will be God. He is with God right now, waiting to come back for his people. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 8, in verse 6, there is but one God from whom are all things, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. It's the same thing. God is the creator. The Holy Spirit becomes the agent in creation, and he creates through his word, and that word is Jesus Christ. And there again, there we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at work in creation. If you read through, you know, you can read through all of the Psalms, Psalm 102, and many others. You can read through Isaiah in chapter 40, Isaiah in chapter 42, Isaiah in chapter 44. There's many places in the Old Testament that talk about God as the creator. Obviously, to say nothing about Genesis in chapter 1, Mark in chapter 3, verse 19, speaks about God creating. Romans in chapter 1 and verse 25 speaks about God creating. And all through the New Testament, God is referred to, along with Christ, as the creator. He is with God. He is with God, the Bible is telling us here. He's with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So he is God, And then the Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he is God, but he's distinct from God in that he came to earth. He is God in the sense for us that it means through, he's God in the sense in which God creates. That's what Christ is. Okay. Jesus didn't get his life from someone. He didn't get his life from someone. In him was life, the Bible says. In him was life. Nobody gave him his life. He was life. When did he get it? He had it from the beginning. What beginning? In the beginning. With God. The earth was formless and void. God was with Jesus. He was life then. He spoke and things came into existence. He spoke. Water, land, heaven, earth, moon, sun, stars. It all came into existence. He spoke and things came into existence. It's an obvious conclusion. The Bible says, in him was life. Verse 4. You start thinking about God being eternal. And you start thinking about being eternally alive. And then we start thinking about when God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that who believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. In him was life, and Jesus Christ was life, and the life in Christ was the light of men. And the light shined in the dark, and the dark couldn't overtake the light. The darkness can't overtake the light. Now we sing victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. Nobody overtakes Jesus. No one, you know, gets anything over on Jesus. And we get it. As human beings, we get over on each other all the time. You know, we can lie to each other and we can manipulate each other and we can tell half truths to one another. With Christ, you can't do that. Because he knows us. You know why he knows us? Because he created us. He created us. The Creator knows his creation. And sometimes, as people, we're delusional. We think somehow, you know, we think out of sight, out of mind. That's what we think. Out of sight, out of mind. So if I don't hang around church, or if I don't hang around people that are, you know, remind me of how bad I am, I won't feel so bad. I just hang around people that are worse than me, and I'll feel better, because I'm not as bad as them. But God knows his creation. Everybody that he created. It doesn't matter if you are a believer in Christ or you're not a believer in Christ. You're part of the creation of God. He created everybody that was ever created. And there's people that don't believe in him or believe anything about him. And I was one of them. So I was his creation, but I wasn't his child. I became his child when I was adopted into his family. I was adopted into his family the same way all of us get adopted into the family of God, when we realize that there's only one true God, and we realize that God came in the form of Christ to the earth and bore all of our sins on the cross so we would not have to pay the penalty of the sin, the power of the sin, and the bondage of the sin, but we have forgiveness of sin because of Christ in his resurrection. And when we ask him to forgive us of our sin and ask him to be our Lord and Savior, at that moment, we are adopted into the family of God. If it's real, what happens is the things that don't please God won't please you. If it's real. If you're in the family of God, if things don't please God, they won't please you. And so now we have a dilemma for people in our world today. And the dilemma is this. Well, I don't think God is mad about this, or I don't think God is mad about that, and I don't think how could we possibly say, I don't think God would be mad about this or that or the other thing? And most people that say that don't even read the Bible. They don't know God. They don't know what his word says. They don't know that Jesus is God. They don't understand that anything that doesn't please God is called sin. They believe that they have to be perfect. People won't go into churches because they feel like their life has too much sin to even go to church. So they don't go. And they very rarely have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Well, the gospel of John is a gospel that talks about love, it talks about truth, the word, and it talks about believing. And that's our responsibility as God's people, to understand that. You know, when you look at Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Those are the words of God as Jesus Christ. You can't get to God unless it's through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father unless it's through me. There's only one way to heaven. And so we've seen over the course of this past 4, 5, even 6 months, many people pass. Many people pass because of the virus. Many people pass because of other issues in their life. And because of the fear and the frustration in people's life during this time, when people pass, now death becomes more of a reality to people. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You could be the greatest person of all time. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you'll never get to the Father. You'll never get to the Father. And, well, how do you know who's... God knows. So that's why when we have Christian celebrations of life, we know that our brother and sister, whoever they may be, we know, based on their life, based on their testimony, based on how they've lived their life, that we're celebrating their life. We're happy that they're in a better place now. Not so for people that we're not sure of. Not so. We just can't throw a blanket on every time we go to a funeral and say, well, they're in a better place now. They're in a better place if they knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Then you're in a better place. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you go to a funeral, they're not in a better place. If you breathe your last breath before you proclaim Christ as your Lord and Savior and before you repent of your sin, acknowledge your sin and ask Christ to come into your life and save you and change you and be your Lord and Savior, if you don't do that and you breathe your last breath, you won't be with God in eternity. You won't have eternal life. That's what the Gospel of John focuses on. It focuses on love. It focuses on the truth of the Word, the living Word of Jesus, and it focuses on believing. It talks about believing 100 times. I would think that's important, you know. Believe. Do you believe? You know, many times throughout the years, we've had a chance to present the Gospel to people, and do you believe that? Do you really believe? You don't have to believe it because I'm asking you, because you want to please me or please an individual. But do you believe there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus? And if they say, well, no, I'm not sure, then why aren't you sure? Let me try to help you. I'm not trying to convince you, because if I can talk you into something, we've said this many times before, if someone can talk you into something, someone else can talk you out of it. When you get ready to make a decision, that's a big, huge decision, you know at the end of the day, you're going to have to make that decision between you and God, and He's going to speak to you in whatever way He'll let you know it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do because He'll be the one telling you, not because someone will say, you know what, this is going to be better in 2 years or three. It's the right thing to do because you'll know in your heart that it's the right thing to do. So when we're presenting the gospel to people and we say, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. When the Bible says there's no other name other than Jesus where men must be saved. When the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Do you believe there's only one way to heaven? Yes. Yeah. Do you believe that our sins eternally separate us from heaven? The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. Eternal death doesn't mean I'm dead, I go out and dead, it means eternally. The wages of sin, the penalty, the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God, it's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Payment is death, but the gift, the grace, the unmerited favor of God comes through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. There's only one way. And so, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We know Jesus was the Word. He's fully God, fully man. Fully God, fully man, and He is the one who created everything. Everything that exists, exists because of Him. His life became the light of men, the Bible says. The light shines in the darkness. You know, in verse 9, the Bible says, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. It enlightens every man in verse 9 in John chapter 1. Enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world again in verse 10, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He made us. He's in the world. In Him is life. In Him is light. And that light enlightens every man. But we didn't know Him. Not only did we not know Him, we weren't interested in knowing Him. We weren't interested in knowing Him. You know? Probably weren't interested in knowing Him. And if it goes on, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Right? When you receive Him as Lord and Savior, what happens? We talked about that earlier. Then you become a child of God. You're part of God's creation until you receive Christ as Lord and Savior. When you receive Him, then you're a child. We're not all His children until we come into the family of God. And you'll hear people sing that song, we're all, whatever the song is, about little children. We're not all of the children. We're all His creation. You become a child of God when you receive Christ as Lord and Savior and are adopted into His family. So when you say to someone who may not know Christ as Lord and Savior, to you who is God, and they say, He's my Father, well, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? No. Well, then He's not your Father. He's your Creator. He becomes your Father when He adopts you into the family. That's what the Bible tells us. It's not my opinion. That's what God tells us. You know? Jesus is God. And so, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who what? Who believe in His name. Now, we don't tell people, no, you're not a child of God. You're a second-class citizen. You don't know Christ. No, that's not what you say. That's not how you present that to them. You just tell them how much God loves them. And He created them. So they would have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Him through Christ. And that when you do that, your life's not perfect, but you'll have the best friend that you'll ever have in the world. You never have to worry about someone talking behind your back, backstabbing you, gossiping you, stealing your boyfriend, stealing your girlfriend, talking about you, you know, two-faced. You don't have to worry about any of that with Christ. The best friend that any of us will ever have. Knowing that He'll never leave us or forsake us, we live in a world where if I can't see it, it doesn't really mean much to me, though. When you come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it'll mean a lot to you knowing that He's there no matter how difficult the time is. And that He's always about the truth. He's always about the truth. And when you speak the truth, when you believe the truth, and when you know the truth, you're just set free. People who are constantly lying, there's no peace in their life. There's no freedom in their life. They're just liars. They're always one lie to another lie, to another lie, to another lie. It becomes a habit. But when you know the truth sets you free. When you know the truth, when you know He'll never leave you or forsake you, that He'll provide everything that you need, Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, the Bible says, and He'll give you everything else that you need. Maybe not what you want. And you may leave here saying, well, I'd like a BMW. Well, maybe He doesn't want you to have a BMW. Or a Mercedes. Or a whatever the car is. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and they want something that eventually becomes a ball and chain. You know, there's many people that are losing their homes today. Why? Because they're in debt. Because they bought a house too big, or they bought something they can't afford. And now something happened financially, and they have no way to pay for it. It happens all around the country, all around the world. You know, Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 13 talks about Satan's world, Satan's realm, of which all men are a part of. Your father, the devil, he is the prince of darkness. That's what Satan is. He is the prince of darkness. Darkness is tied to Satan. Satan tried to destroy the light, tried to destroy Jesus. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. So, in the opening of the Gospel of John, which is what we did this morning, we introduced it, is a powerful statement. And here it is. The demon darkness cannot extinguish the light. The demon darkness cannot extinguish the light. The light is shining in the world. It's shining in the world, and the light has been shining in the world for a long time. And it's going to continue to shine. It'll continue to shine. You know, in John in chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I say to you, you'll die in your sins unless you believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. You'll die in your sins unless you believe, Jesus said, that I am He. And people will die in their sins. And we, just like God, don't desire people to die in their sins. So the question this morning is this. Do you believe that Jesus is God in human flesh? Do you believe this morning that Jesus is God in human flesh? Because that is the foundation. That is the foundation of genuine saving faith. Jesus said, if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. It's a heavy thought. If you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. Unforgiven, and we'll bear the full burden and punishment of our sins when we die. So you put your faith and trust in Him. You put your faith and trust in Him and you believe. Why? Not because I'm telling you, because that's what the Bible says. You believe that these words are the Word of God, that there's perfection in them, there's no error, they're inerrant, there's no mistakes, there's no contradictions. God wrote through people who were supernaturally inspired by the Holy Spirit to write perfectly. You and I could never have done that in the human flesh with what this Bible is. This Bible was put together that were supernaturally moved by the Holy Spirit to write the perfect Word of God. It's the only perfect book that exists ever. It's the 66 books. You put your trust in Him. Verse 12 in John chapter 1. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who what? Who what? Believe what? In His name. His name, meaning who He really is. And that's our prayer. That's our prayer. That you would know that Jesus Christ is the true God, and that you believe in His name, and you put your faith and trust in Him. And that doesn't mean you have a perfect life or there'll be no concerns. That just means you have a friend who will never leave you or forsake you and provide everything you need to live a life of peace and joy. And that's our prayer for everybody that we come in contact with. So God bless you this morning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We'll continue this over the next few weeks. Let's pray.